Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And we had a lot of fun facts yesterday. So today, we're very happy to have back Dr. Helen Hoffner with us. She is a professor at Holy Family University, and she has authored a tremendous book, and it's entitled Catholicism Everywhere, From Hail Mary Passes to Cappuccino, How the Catholic Faith is Infused in Culture. And this great book is available at ewtnrc.com. And yesterday, Dr. Hoffner was just spewing all of these fun facts that, who knew? Yeah. Everything from LeBron James, Roger Staubach.
Yeah, it's the sports section.
The whole sports section, which is you kind of like, from, I could use that info for
my
grandchildren.
She has a food section.
She has a food section. She has a healthcare section, television section. So many beautiful chapters, just chock full of information, of things that you didn't know, that I didn't know, and it's all put together in this great little book. For me, it's exciting because I'm going to use it with my grandkids and say, did you know this great fun fact?
Well, that's what the folks are saying here on set.
Yeah.
So you can just hear in the back, I didn't know that. Oh, that's where that term comes. April Fools. What's that got to do with Catholicism? It's under the calendar section. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on and on. Catholicism everywhere, from Hail Mary passes to cappuccinos, how the Catholic faith is infused in culture. And may this infusion continue. Mm. Because we need to build all together a new culture of life and marriage and family and the dignity of the human person, and to do that with fun and with food.
Right, and with your talents. A lot of these people in this book were clearly talented with gifts that God had given them to make a difference in our culture.
We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. You're gonna learn a lot more facts. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're excited to have back with us today Dr. Helen Hoffner. She is a professor at Holy Family University, and she's authored a very great book about Catholicism everywhere, from Hail Mary passes to cappuccinos, how the Catholic faith is infused in culture. You're going to learn some things you just didn't know. This great book is available at ewtnrc.com. Well, Dr. Hoffner, you wrote this beautiful book. For the people who didn't see the show yesterday, tell our family briefly about the book, what they can find in it, and what is your hope for this beautiful book?
It's really about the connections to Catholicism to almost everything in your life. People get up and they say their morning prayers, and then many people are lucky enough to be able to go to a 7 or an 8 a.m. Mass. But then you have to go to your 9-to-5 job or your family responsibilities. And I wanted to show that no matter what you do all day long, from playing a game at night with your kids or involving in sports, there's a Catholic connection to what you do.
Mm-hmm. And even drinking your morning coffee.
Yes.
There's a connection. Yeah. And even the calendar by which we were all regulated by. It's all connected.
As we did the first show, I'm not a big game show watcher, but I did feel like it was, here's the category and here's the thing. And did you know, is that Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Okay, and so is that influential in what you did, or a sense about that, or does that fit in?
It was, and I even have Alex Trebek in the book. Alex Trebek was an older boy, and he talks about being an older boy and how that developed his life and the good things that came from it. And, you know, as I was writing the book, I was a Jeopardy watcher, and every now and then I'd be watching Jeopardy, and there'd be a question about it, and I thought, gee, something like one night there was a question about St. Elmo's fire, and I didn't know what St. Elmo's, I mean, all of us have heard the song maybe or saw the movie, but didn't really know what it was. And that question got me to researching. And St. Elmo's fire was actually a type of lightning that sailors would see. And this kind of lightning would come near the end of a storm. And sailors, when it was a very difficult storm, they would pray to St. Elmo to get them through it safely. And when they saw St. Elmo's fire in the sky, they knew St. Elmo was going to protect them.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't perish and die, which is a good thing.
I don't know that much about St. Elmo, but I know there was, what's the kids' show? They have Elmo.
Sesame Street.
Sesame Street has
an
Elmo.
And he's red.
Sure.
There you go.
Now, tell our family, like you, about television, okay? So there are so many beautiful categories that you have here in the book. But, and we, the yesterday we talked about the priest mm-hmm. who sold all those patents, well, he just gave all those patents to the Vatican and they broadcast radio. Tell us a little personal note about Mother Angelica in television in your book.
Well, you know, what's wonderful about Mother Angelica, she was obviously a visionary. Like, look how she was so far ahead of her time. And Mother Angelica, back when she had the idea for a radio station and wanted to get a satellite, she called lawyers up out of the blue, and she wound up having the same lawyer as Ted Turner. So people know Ted Turner starting CNN. Mm-hmm. Mother Angelica and Ted Turner started about the same time. Mm-hmm. So we had CNN starting, we had EWTN starting. And then when you think about all the programming that's on EWTN.
Yes.
One of the programs that I like to watch on EWTN are seeing the programs from Fulton Sheen.
Yes.
Fulton Sheen does wonderful programs there. Well, way back when television was starting, and television, like Mother Angelica started for just a few hours a day, and now 24 hours, right. And television was like that for everyone. So way, way back when television was starting, the inventors were finding they just weren't selling enough sets. People weren't into this yet. And they had to get something that people would want to watch. So one of the first things that they did was to think about religion, and they had an Easter Mass broadcast, and that was one of their first things. And Fulton Sheen was a narrator for that. And Fulton Sheen was someone who had a gift for public speaking, and they recognized his talent and wound up having his own program.
Yes.
And I think what's a nice parallel, Mother Angelica started the network, and she's done so much for charity, and with her RC catalog, does a lot to fund some good projects. Mm-hmm. Well, way back when Fulton Sheen was starting his program, he did the TV program, but he was also the head of the Mission Society, and he needed to raise money for the missions. And he developed a rosary. And maybe people have seen rosaries where every decade is a different color. Well, that was Fulton Sheen's idea. He wanted to do what he called the World Mission Rosary. And he said the yellow represents Asia, the land of the rising sun. Red represented the fire of the Americas, the people that really inspired to move on. White represented Europe for the Vatican. Green represented the rich forests of Africa. And he had a color for each part of the world. And when he would broadcast his shows, he also would sell his rosary. Now, in those days, we didn't have internet. You'd have to mail in your check to get it. But he was selling the rosaries that way. We like to joke that he was the first as seen on TV promoter.
Yeah. No, really, right? And he did that so well. And now EWTN airs Father Fulton Sheen, right? And we get to watch those shows and hear those beautiful sermons and those beautiful teachings with his blackboard, as he did back in the day. And we listen to him, and I love to hear him preach.
Yeah.
He's
and
a
you,
great
you think
preacher.
About the 20th century and part of the 21st century, and when you speak about evangelization, people might think about Billy Graham. But Fulton Sheen and Mother Angelica were two of the most prolific evangelists of our country and of the world in the 20th and 21st century. It's important for Catholics to know that we're people who that are concerned about conversion, about infusing society and using the media to sweep the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So tell our family about Sister Mary Kenneth Keller. So she was the first woman involved with computer science and how she also is connected to this day with Carlo Acutis.
She was interesting. In the 1960s, she was interested in computer science, which people were not talking about that in the 60s. Mm-hmm. She wanted to go to a program at Dartmouth University, which at that time only accepted men. So here she was, a nun, wanting to go to a place that only accepted men. She got special permission to take this course. She so impressed the people there that they invited her to stay on and do more research with them. And Sister Mary Kenneth Keller is actually one of the people who developed BASIC, the computer language that makes everything we do possible. Mm-hmm. And we say she's the first woman to get a PhD in computer science. That was 1965. Actually, I think she deserves more credit than that. The first man actually graduated the same day. So the first man, the first woman actually earned a doctorate in computer science the same day in 1965. but the man's college had their graduation ceremony an hour earlier than her college did. So
he got more accolades than she.
I think they deserve equal credit.
I do too. And to think about that in 1965, I mean, computers were like they were out there in science world, like they were on the moon, right? I mean, no one was really into it. And then how God used her. And then we just did a show on Carlo Acutis and blessed Carlo Acutis, and hopefully he will be made a saint soon.
So you feel like she paved the way.
Yeah, for him, right?
Really, because now all of us, almost everyone has websites and such now, but in the early 2000s, having a personal website was not as common. Mm-hmm. So when blessed Carlo Acutis was in high school, he got the idea of developing a website for his parish, mm-hmm. which, like I said, now most parishes have it, but in those days, even like back 2005, that was not as common. He developed websites for his parish, and then he developed other websites for the parish. He won awards in his high school days for being a developer. But he got the idea to spread love of the Eucharist through mm-hmm. the internet, back when no one was thinking the way that internets could be used, their right. websites could be used. And his website about miracles of the Eucharist just took off. The Vatican recognized it. And after his death, his family continued it. Mm-hmm. So really, as you're saying, Sister Kenneth Coward did the basic language that mm-hmm. made all this possible, and he followed in her footsteps.
Yeah, and we, you know, we had a woman on who authored a book about him. We call her the biggest cheerleader. She just, her name, Sabrina, which she did such a great job.
Easy. Yeah.
And she did a great job and was telling us that when people would go to the website or go to the, where they were sharing about the Eucharistic miracles, that people were getting healed in the audience. Mm. And so it was, we were like, what? It was really pretty amazing what was going on and how God was using her and Carlo.
We touched on foods last show a little bit. So we talked about coffee, cappuccino. Did we speak about beer? I think we did.
We talked about, but now tell us about pretzels.
Pretzels and gingerbread, people.
Pretzel and gingerbread.
And here's where you can make Catholic connections all through your day. Like, who would think snacking a pretzel has a religious connotation? Mm-hmm. But if we're thinking about Lenten foods, and back in time when people were more serious than they are now, people made sure they had no butter, sugar, things like that in their house. Pretzels were invented as something that people could eat during Lent because they have very few tempting ingredients. They're very basic. It was invented by a monk, and the idea was that they were folded hands. So this very simple treat could be something you could eat during Lent.
Mm-hmm. And remind you why you're fasting and offering your sacrifice up to the Lord. Now, the problem where you get in trouble with pretzels is what you dip them in. Pretzels, if you can have pretzels and beer, that's good. Where we get in trouble is dipping them in lovely things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You turn it into a whole hors d'oeuvre in and of itself.
I see you have under that heading, food, fasting, faith, breaking of the bread, or breaking of bread. So speak to us about that, how that's become a part of the culture. I think I can understand it in Catholicism.
And one notion where we use the word breaking bread, there's leavened bread and unleavened bread. So when they say in the Gospels how Jesus broke bread, the bread was very hard and actually would break, almost mm-hmm. like a loaf of bread, kind of that crackle to it. Mm-hmm. So that notion of breaking bread with someone came from that.
That's so great. And now tell us about the healthcare, because this is really important, and about Catholics involved in Alzheimer's and then also in AA.
And this is where I want the world to really know what Catholics have contributed to so many good aspects of life. So in the early 1900s, when many people didn't have time for people that were struggling with alcoholism, people just thought it was negative and didn't give them the respect that they should have. Sister Mary Ignatia was the registrar of a hospital in Akron, Ohio, and she really thought there was a medical condition related to this, and she got the first medical ward established for people dealing with alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And not only did she get it established in her hospital, but she recruited, people talk about Dr. Bob, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was really this sister who said to him, we need a medical diagnosis, we need to get this treated. So they started basically Alcoholics Anonymous, the two of them. And in Alcoholics Anonymous today, sometimes people get tokens as they reach different mm-hmm. levels. Mm-hmm. She actually gave out Sacred Heart medallions. She gave out Sacred Heart medallions. She gave out St. Christopher medals. Mm-hmm. And she would tell them, now you can't speed in the car because St. Christopher gets out when the car goes over 50.
That's good to know. I need to remind myself that which is good. It's kind of like if you're going to crash, you're doing this on your own, because I'm here to protect you, but you got to be smart. You got to be a good driver. And so then tell us about the connection with Alzheimer's.
So there actually was someone named Lewis Alzheimer, who was a medical researcher, and they really attribute his Catholic background to where patients were suffering for what we call dementia today. Mm-hmm. They also were treated very disrespectfully and weren't given the care that they should have. He had a patient named Agatha that he studied, and he insisted that his people not be restricted in the way that sometimes they were really restricted in their beds and some things. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't let his patients be treated that way. He wanted them to have good clothing. Mm-hmm. And he really led us to understanding of Alzheimer's we have now. And then the other great part, after he did his studies on Alzheimer's, people started to understand the disease. There was another researcher who came after him, Snowden, who wanted to do research. But I know from my work at the university, if you want to do research, you've got to find a population you can study and who can you work with. So Snowden thought he needed a population, large numbers of people, who would have similar lifestyles. And wouldn't it be a bonus if he could even find people who had a similar diet mm-hmm. and all the same lifestyles? And he couldn't think where to get them. And then he thought, a convent. You have large groups of women mm-hmm. on the same schedule every day, mm-hmm. eating their meals together. This mm-hmm. would be women that he could see what happened. So he went to the School Sisters of Notre Dame, and he wanted to study nuns who were 75 and older. There was about 1,600 people in that age range that fit. And out of the 1,600, 700 of them volunteered mm-hmm. that they would go for monthly blood tests, whatever medical test he needed. And really, a lot of what we know today about Alzheimer, dementia, came from what they call the nun studies, mm-hmm. what he could learn from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had that population that he needed.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've got a little bit of time before we go to the break. Just begin the conversation about traveling the skies. You have somebody who's like Bishop of the Moon or something like that, astronauts, and so speak to us about flight.
So since we all have to think about, well, who's our bishop, that we, whatever diocese we happen to live in, 1917 Code of Canon Law. So the Catholic Church follows canon law. The Code of Canon Law says that if an explorer is setting out, so let's think back like the days of Christopher Columbus, wherever Christopher Columbus set sail from, what he discovered in America would be governed by the bishop of the place where he left.
Wow. Okay.
So 1968, 69, the spaceships are going up. Apollo 11 is going to the moon. When Apollo 11 landed on the moon, Bishop Borders, the Bishop of Orlando, contacted the Vatican to remind the Pope that he was now the first bishop of the moon, because the spaceship had left from Florida mm-hmm. in his diocese. So that meant whatever territory was discovered belonged to him.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know that. That's an amazing fact.
Taking
so
the
he's the bishop of the
he's
moon.
He's the bishop of the moon, and his successor today is the current bishop of the moon.
Wow. We're going to take a break at this point, and we'll be right back. We're speaking about Catholicism everywhere, from Hail Mary passes to cappuccino, how the Catholic faith is infused in culture. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Helen Hoffner and your book, Catholicism Everywhere, 19 or so categories where Catholics have infused Catholicism and really contributed to the culture and society. When we closed out our last segment, we were speaking about traveling the skies. We learned about the first bishop of the moon. I'd like to know how many people ever knew about that, thought about that. And then you have another section in here, communion in space. Speak to us about that.
So the early astronauts were not able to take communion, but the space shuttle. When you think John Glenn was not in space as long as the current astronauts are. So one of the astronauts was going to be in the space shuttle for a long period of time. He happened to be a Eucharistic minister. He got permission to take 24 consecrated hosts into the space with him.
Wow.
He was actually going to be in space for about 30 to 40 days. So he had to sort of portion which days do I want to receive communion. Mm-hmm. But he took the picks into space with him, and there were two other astronauts on the shuttle who were also Catholic. Mm-hmm. So they figured out, you know, how to do this fairly, and they'd all be able to receive communion. Mm-hmm. And he said he did it very carefully, thinking the day he was going to take a spacewalk, he wanted extra protection that day, days when they were landing. But they actually took it into space with them and had communion reverently during their time in the space shuttle.
You know, and you think of Jesus, who created the cosmos and the interstellar space, and here he is, and they're receiving him in the body, blood, soul, and divinity in the pics from the pics of the. I mean, that's an amazing story. And there, Catholics on space. We got bishops in space. We got it going on, which is so wonderful.
I used to have a professor in seminary, and periodically the discussion would come up: are there life on other planets or whatever? This was a very evangelical seminary that I was a part of, and he said, you know, we really don't know if they're up there or not or whatever. But if they are, they need Christ. We need to evangelize in some way, and it's a beautiful thought. Well, he's already there, his presence. But the devotion of Catholics, and I never knew there were astronauts that were receiving the mm-hmm. Lord, mm-hmm. and that the church gave permission to do that, but it makes perfect sense.
It is beautiful.
One of the astronauts left a Bible on the moon, so if the aliens are up there or whoever's there, there's a Bible there for them to read.
There you go, they can know God. So
there was a Catholic who left it? Or just an astronaut?
I'm not sure, but
hopefully
it
has all the books of the Bible. That would be great.
Well, now, Helen, tell us about fashion and Catholics and fashion.
And, you know, fashion, there's school uniforms, of course. I'm from the Philadelphia area. And for people who remember the old Dick Clark bandstand.
Yeah. Yes.
So my mother's a graduate of West Catholic High School. West Catholic Girls High School was the closest Catholic high school, actually the closest high school, to where Dick Clark's bandstand was being broadcast from. Mm-hmm. So the girls in those days on bandstand, teenagers could go and dance on the show. He would play music and they would dance. It was a fun after school thing. So they got out of school at 3:00. His show started about 3:30. They wanted to go and jump on it, but they weren't allowed to wear their uniforms on camera. Mm-hmm. The principal of the school thought it wasn't respectful for West Catholic uniforms to be mm-hmm. dancing on Dick Clark's show. So finally, and the girls didn't have time to go home in between. They wound up taking a sweater and wearing the sweater over. Their school uniform had a Peter Pan collar. So they would wear all different color sweaters with a mm-hmm. Peter Pan collar sticking out. So here's these Philadelphia girls doing just something they needed to do in a hurry. Teenagers all over America started copying the style.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And Dick Clark liked it because he thought rock and roll was getting a bad reputation. He thought it made rock and roll look very wholesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing. Helen, thank you so much for being with us again. We've had you on in a previous year. Catholicism everywhere, from Hail Mary passes to cappuccinos, how the Catholic faith is infused in culture. Hope you've enjoyed this show. Hope you'll do your part to be the Catholic, the Christian that Christ has called you to be, to build a new culture of life, marriage, and the family. God bless you. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.